was the last, we'll be the first. What a day, I'm telling you.
This is Jimmy and Annette, and we are coming to you from the heart of our, well, we always say the Texas Hill Country, but I don't want to sound just like Adam. We're coming from the heart of Bridge Church, Fredericksburg, Texas. Literally, the heart. We're right in the office, right in the studio.
That's right.
How are you this morning?
I am good. I'm a little tired because I didn't sleep well. I think I was thinking about the election, so in the middle of the night, I would look at my phone and just see, and then I'm like, oh, wait,
you
can't see.
You did that in the middle of the night?
I did, while you're sleeping.
Wow, I was out.
You were out.
I slept good last night.
And then I finally woke up about 6:10. I was like, your alarm did not go off. I thought it was probably 4 or 5. And so I tried to wake you up when I saw that Trump won, and I just lost it. I just started bawling.
I know.
You were crying.
I was trying to wake up. I'm in a total dead sleep.
I was crying because I felt like, not because he won, but because God won. Because his mercy allows us to have another 4 years of trying to turn this other administration has done to America and turn it back to how it's founded. And yeah. I believe that Trump can do that. He's not our savior, obviously. But I cried out of gratitude that God heard our prayers.
We've worked hard over the last year and a half here at the Bridge. You know, I mean, the thing is, I can't affect Washington, D.C., but I can impact my sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And this goes for anybody. And I love what Adam says and others say. Rick Green says it too. And others talk about the fact that the real power for change is local. It's where you live. It's where you work and where you play.
Yes.
And so sometimes we can get so bent out of shape about what's going on up in D.C. and forget the real critical piece is right where you live, right at home, and you're starting at your own kitchen table, right?
And as you put it this morning, you coached our church well.
Well, I didn't say it that way. I didn't say I coached our church well.
What did you say? But you were able to give them good.
That sounds like I'm patting myself
on
the back.
No. You were guiding them and helping people see what's really going on in America and where we came from, how far we've gone. And I believe that's what a good coach does, though.
Thank you.
Is not take. You're not taking credit, but you. You learn things, and then you were able to disclose those things to our people. And I mean, when you look around at our church, when you took a poll to see how many people had already voted, and we would say probably 90-95% of our people before Election Day, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I'd say 2 weeks ago, I took that poll, informal, of course.
Yeah.
I just asked for a show of hands in both services. How many of you have already voted? So 2 weeks ago, two mm-hmm. Sundays ago, mm-hmm. it was about 80%. I asked others, what did you see? I'm seeing from up there. And everyone I talked to said it had to be 80%.
Yeah.
We did it this Sunday, and it had to be over 90%.
It had to be.
And I literally didn't see anybody not raise their hand.
I turned around and I saw a couple of people.
Okay.
And those were probably, and I don't think they're people that wouldn't vote. I think they just believe strongly in voting on.
Oh, and that's true.
The day.
There were people who waited till the day. I just, with what happened in Arizona in the last election, where guys like Charlie Kirk, who's such a big voice and such a massive influencer, was told he couldn't vote because the machines were glitching.
I'm going to eat your summer sausage.
You go right ahead. You enjoy yourself. Just, wow, yeah. We'll hear everything you're doing right now.
Wow. I'm hungry.
You are starving. You're eating on our podcast.
I know. Sorry.
You know, Adam and Tina drink on theirs, but you're eating
on
ours.
I'm eating and having coffee.
I am going to drink coffee for sure. Because it was, we had such a sweet evening last night. Let's just talk a little bit about that. We got to hang out with our best friends. Our best friend, you can't even talk. You got a full mouth.
I do. Well, Tina and I and a lot of the girls from church all decided to go out to dinner just to kind of get our mind off so that we're not just glued to the TV. and talk girl stuff. And it was just wonderful. And then you and Adam went out and had a nice dinner at Hill and Vine and enjoyed yourself. Then we came back. We met each other back about 8:30. And
normally we'd go home. But, you know, this was a kind of a big day for America.
I think it was kind of a big day. But we only watched a little bit. And that was the first time I had seen anything all day because I didn't watch.
Look at anything all day yesterday because... Yeah. You know, when you're looking at the news, it's so much optics and posturing and chest beating and, you know, just ridiculous. So I had an actually really peaceful and really God-oriented day yesterday. I want to tell a little bit about what happened yesterday morning. But I want to finish this conversation. But first of all, just to say how blessed we are to have Adam and Tina in our lives, our friends, and just that we can go through hard things together, hard things in our country together, and keep each other encouraged, keep each other looking up instead of, you know, always just getting down on the negative and seeing the hard stuff, because there are hard things happening around the world right now. And yet we're able to encourage one another, enjoy an evening out. We ate steaks. That was amazing. Ribeye, thank you. And Whitney was a jewel who waited on us at Hill and Vine. We love Hill and Vine and appreciate them. But just such a good time. I thought the restaurant would be empty. I thought it would be like a home football game where nobody's in the restaurants during the football game. I literally thought, but the place was packed. I was surprised. She was surprised.
I think a lot of people just wanted to wait till a little bit later,
so
because
too.
Really you don't know anything before then. It's
just
all
noise.
Speculation.
And it's just listening to newscasters do their thing. And, you know, Tina was right. She made a comment that I thought was really funny. She said, this is like the Super Bowl for newscasters, right? And for news programs and news outlets. Whereas hurricanes are like the Super Bowl for Joe Cantore and all the
meteorologists.
The Weather Channel's like losing their mind. They're so excited. They're trying to not look like they're excited about it, but it comes through. And it's the same way as so we were at Adam's and Tina's. Adam pulled up on TV, and we bounced back and forth from Fox to CNN to MSNBC just to see the mood and the tone. And it was fascinating. It's such a sociological study in human behavior, looking at the different slants and bents. Fox was all hyper and excited. And then all the way on the other end of the spectrum, MSNBC, they were all depressed. You could tell around their panel.
Countenance was so different.
It was a giveaway. They were like, this doesn't look good for us. It was obvious. But it was really cool, though, hanging out with people who have a good footing on the, you know, their head's not in the clouds. Adam and Tina, they're both sound, good thinkers. And then to be able to, you know, kind of process what we were seeing early on, we went home and I was so tired because I had an emo day, an emotional day, but it was good, but it was heavy. So I went home very tired last night and I was like out.
You were.
I mean, boom. I was in La La Land quickly.
You were.
And so, yeah.
I went to sleep fairly quickly after you did.
Yeah.
But then my mind just kept going. I would wake up and just start thinking, okay, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's going on. Because, you know, 4 years ago, it was quite a different story.
Very much so.
And it looked like he was going to win. And everybody just goes to bed and thinks, oh, and then, whoa, things change at the last minute. So, we just didn't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
And then I remember the prior 4 years, you know, waking up and hearing that Trump won. And that was, it was such a wonderful feeling
to know.
That's how
I felt this morning.
Yeah.
You know, one of the slogans that was being thrown around, which I actually liked, was too big to rig.
Yes, I heard that quite often.
It's just got to be too big to rig, and that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I woke up praying for safety over the whole team.
Me too.
Over all of them, not just Trump and his own family, but everyone around that. Mm-hmm. That there would just be safety and just you know, a healthy transition. I mean, we got a couple of months here to kind of wade through some hard waters, but still, the future looks bright and things look hopeful.
For the next 4 years, we have a life raft. But our work has just begun.
To me, this is the kickoff.
It's just begun. Because we need to help people win graciously. We need to help them understand that we're not done here. This is just the beginning. God's given us a chance to turn America around, and we need to live by biblical principles. And it doesn't mean we just kind of let our guard down, that means we need to keep our guard up because there's a real enemy that wants to take us all out and take Donald out, which that's where I'm praying.
You mean President Trump?
President Trump, sorry. just like you said, we need to pray for them, but we also need to pray for, this is where I've been all week, is praying for the administration, period, for salvation, whether it's Biden, Harris, you know, Waltz, anybody.
Agree.
We need their eyes to be opened and them to be awakened to who Christ is. And continue to pray for Donald Trump because he needs to. I heard that he said, I'm not your savior. There's only one savior, and it's Jesus Christ.
I
didn't hear that,
it.
But when I heard several people say that to me, that blessed me so much. And we just need him to keep that posture because he is not our savior, but he is going to make some policies that I believe God will be proud of. And so, but we need to continue to pray for him.
Something I totally agree. Then we need to cover all the administrations, everything in prayer. I said something on Sunday I think is really important, and it was a repeat of something one of my football coaches said years ago, or maybe it might have been Coach Reynolds in basketball. But he said this, he said, when we win with class, and when we lose with class. And I've been coaching and teaching our church. Listen.
See, you're using the word coach. It's okay.
No, coaching. That wasn't what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
I said I coached our church well. I did not
use
that word.
Well, you didn't say it like that.
I never want to come off as...
No, you won't say that, but I will say it.
Well, thank you.
I can say it because you did.
I receive it as a compliment.
You helped open the eyes of the people whose eyes may have been shut.
You know, I just said that. Mike True just wrote, I love Mike. He's new to our church. He said, he just wrote me, winning with class feels pretty darn great. Praise God for his infinite grace. My phone has been blowing up as we speak, just off the chain. But these are people that we've walked with for years together. Some of them, well, Mike's
we've
new,
all been praying.
But we've all been praying, and they've walked through this season of praying for our nation. That and the whole heart of this. In fact, let me just write. This is something I shared with a group of Remnant Alliance pastors. I'm on a text group with them, and I wrote this: our pulpits will thunder with gratitude and the resolve to roll up our sleeves, stay the course, and get on with the hard and joyful work of restoration and returning to our foundations of faith and our founding fathers' original intent. Mm-hmm. We get to do this.
Yes.
And that's really, that's kind of what you were getting to. We don't just drop our guard. In fact, I've learned this the hard way as I've gotten older, is that we tend to be most vulnerable after a win.
Yes. That's true.
And the enemy loves to come in after a win and just wreak havoc. And because we kind of drop our guards, we're like, oh, we worked so hard, we won the game. But to me, we didn't win the game yet. This is the kickoff. This is like the election's the coin toss. The kickoff will be January when he actually steps in and takes office. That's the kickoff.
And he's making the policies he promises he'll make. Which
we know he'll do.
Which he did before, so we don't have a record of him breaking his promises. So we just need to continue to pray. You know, I think for me, for him, because of his age, we need to pray for his mind.
Yes.
And that it will stay sharp.
Yeah.
And that, because that it is kind of nerve-wracking to have, an older president like this.
We have history now with Joe Biden, and I'm not putting Joe Biden down. When I even say, or President Biden, when I say and talk, I try not to be disparaging, because there's
it can come across that way just because of how we all feel about this administration.
There's a very real part of me that feels sorry for him in the sense that there are things slipping.
And even more so lately, even though he made the comment about, anyone who votes for Trump is garbage, he's not even in his right mind, which is sad because we have two more months.
You know, Ronald Reagan, the same thing happened to him towards the end of his presidency, and he began to falter and have memory loss and have issues with his thinking. And it was a tragedy. It's hard. And so anyway, I don't wish ill will. I'm praying for the salvation for even those that I've been verbally frustrated about, in terms of saying this platform is dark and even in some cases evil. But I will not cease to pray for them.
We have to.
And pray for good things.
I mean, the Bible talks about praying for our enemies, and they really are our enemies. They talk talking trash, hello, garbage about us. But we, you know, instead of talking back that way to them or about them, we have got to come to the terms that we're not going to go that low, that we have to be Christians in this. And Christians, you know, have to turn the other cheek. It doesn't mean you vote for someone like that.
No.
But it means you turn the other cheek and you pray for them. You know, Rebecca Alonzo was here this weekend.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the women's conference, because that was amazing.
It was phenomenal. She wrote a book, an autobiography, many years ago called The Devil in Pew Number 7. We talked about it, I believe, on our last show that she was coming. We had about 130 women there. And she talked about what happened in her life as a child when she was 7 years old. For 7 years of her life, her first 7 years, a man in the church terrorized her family, and because her mom and dad, her dad was a pastor. He was an evangelist who became a pastor of a church in Sellerstown, and he harassed, he set bombs around their house. He shot out windows in their house. He had his goonies is how she puts it. Because he was very wealthy. He was the commissioner of
He would hire
of the town, and he pretty much owned the whole town. And he would lend money to farmers for their needs, and if they couldn't pay him back, he would take their whole farm from them. He was just a cruel and mean man. But what I love about her story is her parents, instead of leaving the town after seven years of terrorism, instead of leaving, they prayed for him and his family, and two of his kids out of, I think she said he had 9 kids. Two of his kids actually got saved, and they had vacations together with those two kids, which is absolutely crazy, older kids. But they ended up praying. Well, the tragedy was there was a woman in their church that was best friends with Rebecca's mom, and she was being abused by her husband. And she came to Rebecca's mom and wanted to stay with them. Actually, Rebecca's mom offered her to come stay with them for safety, which I don't think I would have thought that would have been a safe place knowing bombs were going off. But she loved Rebecca's mom and chose to do that. Well, this man, Mr. Watt, got a word that the husband, his wife, came and lived with them. And so he planted a seed in there that you should go kill them. Because he knew he was an alcoholic. He knew he was violent. And so he did. And he went and he literally shot Rebecca's mom to death and shot her dad. But he ended up living, but he had PTSD and major mental illness from it. What I learned from her story, though, is the power of forgiveness and the power of praying for people who are not in their right mind. They're cruel. They don't make right decisions. And because she was here this weekend before the election, I began to think about this election, which is when I kind of started to change my views about things. Yeah, am I upset about the way things have happened for 4 years? Yes. Do I agree with all the policies? No. But in hearing her story, it reminded me that God forgave us when we were not in our right minds.
Mm-hmm.
We were,
no doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And here, even though this man used other people to do his work, which was to kill this family, they chose to forgive. And even Rebecca and her brother, who were only ones left. The dad ended up dying 7 years later. You've got to get this book, The Devil in Pew Number 7. It's fabulous. But they chose to walk in forgiveness. The result of it, the result was Mr. Watts, when Rebecca was a teenager, called her and said, and she had to go to trial at 8 years of age and talk about everything that had happened. But the result was Mr. Watts contacting Rebecca and her brother and asking He said, I have one question for you. And she thought he was in prison, but he had just gotten out. He had only gone to prison for 1 year for what he did, which was sad. But he said, will you forgive me? He said, all those years of going to church and harassing your dad, I didn't know Jesus. But I go to prison and I found Jesus. Would you forgive me? I'm going to cry. Because that's a result of them walking out forgiveness. And she said, Mr. Watts, we forgave you a long time ago. He ended up going to heaven a little bit later. And I'm thinking, wow. And she even said, I'm sure my parents are welcoming him in heaven, because even though they died from the bullets that he produced, they prayed for him. And so for them, it was a win, even though it wasn't a win physically at home. That just literally tore me. I've heard her story. I've traveled with her as she has told this story. I've read the book over and over, but for some reason, this weekend, it really got to me. And then Dr. Phil's office called Rebecca and asked if she and her brother would come on the show, because the man who actually killed her mom, he was going to have him on the show, and he wanted them to talk together. And Rebecca and her brother went to the show, and they had a Bible. They bought a Bible, had it inscribed and engraved with his name on it, and gave it to him after the show and forgave him. And it just, to me, if they can forgive and they've lost both their parents, they've lost their childhood. I think her brother was like 3 years old or something, and she was 8. Give me a break. They've lost everything that are dear to us, and yet they forgave. We have to forgive this administration that has done this to America. And we have to live as Christians. We need to pray and not cease in praying for those that are not awakened yet. That's kind of what I got out. In fact, she asked all of the women that were there to write down on a piece of paper who we need to forgive, what we need to forgive. I couldn't think of anything until afterwards. I couldn't think of anyone that I have not literally walked in forgiveness with until afterwards, when she left and the Lord said, you need to talk. You need to pray about this administration and all those people that need Jesus. Don't stop praying just because a new administration comes in. Keep them before me. Do you know what I'm saying?
And yes.
To me, that's...
It sounds biblical.
It does.
Because it is. Can I share the scripture?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So you can get a drink of your coffee there. Matthew 5:43-45, Jesus says this, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. I mean,
wow.
Come on.
It doesn't get any clearer than that.
Exactly. It's clear.
But the problem is too many Christians, they don't know the Bible, and so they don't know how to walk that out. Or they know it, but they can't, because the enemy has just put a filter, you know, on their mind and their heart, and have hardened their hearts towards people who have hurt or persecuted us. And that's what I walked away with, because I said, Lord, is there anyone that I have not forgiven, that I'm just walking in hatred, that I feel this contempt for? I literally couldn't think of anybody at the time.
That's freedom.
It is.
That is freedom.
Because I've walked through freedom so much. I've had to walk through forgiveness, because I had to come to a realization of my own state when God forgave me. And I can't even describe the gratitude I feel for what he's done for me and what he wants to do for everyone, everyone.
Absolutely.
He wants, everyone will be calling on the name of the Lord when he comes back. Everyone, whether they repent and say and really believe he is Lord, but everyone will know he is Lord when he comes back.
No doubt.
And so to me, I felt like her timing of coming was, I need to up my prayers for the administration, for the current, the new one coming in, for anyone that is running our government, making decisions for America, that their eyes will be open, that they will turn to Christ because he is king.
And here's another piece of that I want to add to that, because I think this is where you start, right? Because those are the ones that are more obvious and blatant, because there are people driving platforms that are so contrary to our biblical worldview. So that tends to alienate us.
Yes.
But not only that, we have neighbors in our neighborhood. We have people that
I've been praying for those neighborhood, those neighbors that have the Harris signs, one in particular on our block, praying for their eyes to be open, because I love them. I don't hate them.
And that's the thing I'm resisting right now, is being angry with, because if you listen to all the news stuff and you just feed on this negativity, you can begin to just, you see a sign that's not the color of yours, and you just have this reaction, this visceral reaction. I am so trying to fight that, because I do not, one nation under God. Right?
Right.
We're supposed to be one nation under God, indivisible. Mm-hmm. You know, that means not dividable, because,
divided we fall.
United we stand, divided we fall.
Yes.
I mean, if we cannot do this thing together. And so one of my prayers over this next term is, of course, there's going to be reactions in the short term, right? We know that's going to happen to some degree. I think less than what people were expecting, but we'll see. Whatever that is, I hope we can all get past that. I know the divide is intentional. The enemy's, tactic is divide and conquer, right?
It is.
So
it
our
is.
Prayer, let me read this. Jesus said in Luke 23:34, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses.
Yes.
Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. I mean, it just goes on and on. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And it's endless. There's so many scriptures about this, and it's so the heart of God. And for Jesus to be hanging on a cross, beaten, bloodied, and knowing that his own disciples were going to be beaten and bloodied, and knowing the future of the early church, especially the persecution they were going to endure, he still says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing.
And we're supposed to imitate him. We're supposed to, the whole point of knowing Jesus is about a relationship. I know the closer I get to my friends, the more I kind of act like them. You know what I'm saying?
It's like we go back to junior high.
It is.
Middle school.
We begin to like the same things. We buy the,
wear the same clothes.
Tina, I'll just say this. Every time, Tina and I go shopping, we both like the same thing. We end up buying a lot of the same things.
Well, you
things.
Were trying on her jacket last night going,
I want this jacket.
I've got to get one of these.
Yeah, and she, I was like, just give it to me. She goes, Annette, it's too big for you. I'm like, okay, well, I have to have it. But that's how we are. When we get close to someone, we begin, I mean, like you and I, we're so close. We almost look alike now, in a way. I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
I just had a mental picture.
Because it was funny, because Rebecca, when she was sitting next to me at church, and I was sitting really close to you, and I was kind of getting closer, and she was like, okay, do y'all need to get a room or something? It was hilarious.
I nearly snorted my coffee when you said that.
But it's because we're so close. We think alike. You went from the gray area to the black and white area.
I'm much more black and white than I used to be.
Now,
no kidding.
I'm getting a little bit more gray, but you're getting a little bit more black and white, because we spend time together.
Yeah.
This is the evidence of when we spend time with Christ, we will imitate him. We will, the evidence of it is we will look like him. So we need to learn about Jesus. I say, read everything Jesus wrote in the New Testament so you can know who Jesus is.
So the way I put it, and I've always said this, read the red and pray for the power.
Exactly.
Spend time. I read a proverb a day. That's become such a, just my go-to. But I actually was thinking, I need to read the Gospels again. I need to get back. I need to balance that out with the Gospels. So I'm going to start going back through the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Probably start with the Gospel John. Of John.
I knew you were going to say John. You always tell people, start with John.
I love John. But gosh, I've really grown fond of Luke by going through the book of Acts. It's really gotten me. So I may do Luke. Do Luke.
And to me, that is how you get to know who he is. And then we imitate him. And when we don't, when we get in our flesh and we begin to go back to the way we used to do things before salvation, I just think he weeps for us. Like, gosh, they forgot. They don't remember. Yeah. And he's trying to change our heart, because that's the whole point of salvation, is we are a new creation, a new creature.
Which is the greatest miracle.
To me, that's a bigger miracle than legs growing out or knees being healed.
That's the biggest miracle. Transformation of
the
human heart.
We don't, as the church, see that as the biggest miracle. Too many churches think that you need the other signs and wonders, and to me, that's the biggest. And not just one time. People walking out their salvation, learning and keeping his word in their heart. That's the biggest miracle. Because it says narrow is the road. Narrow.
Yeah. And in Psalm 119, verse 11, you just reminded me that, you know, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Mm-hmm. The power of the word being hidden, mm-hmm. you reading it, taking it in, not only you reading the Bible, but the Bible reading you.
Yes.
You know, it's reading us at the same time. And when that happens, there's a massive, great exchange that happens. And we are transformed.
Yes.
I mean, from glory to glory, the scripture says, one level mm-hmm. of glory to another. And that's when this thing gets fun. I was telling Adam at dinner last night, our discussions are basically God, the world, and other things. I mean, literally, that's the order. God, the world, and other things. That's mm-hmm. how this is how our conversations go. It's why I love him as a best friend, because that is what our conversations center around. And I was saying just how I lost my train of thought. I just totally bounced it.
How old are you? You're about to be.
Sorry,
I had to do that.
No, anyway. It was just one of those conversations where we were talking about God, how he works in us and through us, and what a privilege it is mm-hmm. that we get to. Oh, I really,
okay.
Being it's back.
Okay.
I'm here. Adventure. I said, isn't this a great adventure? Because he's excited.
I love the song by Stephen Curtis Chapman.
Oh, The Great
Adventure.
Oh, I love it.
When you said that, that's what came to my mind.
I just heard that on Hello Fred. I mean, literally.
Oh, he played it.
Yeah,
oh.
It's on there.
Yeah.
Because I sent it to him.
Wow.
So let's talk a little bit about Hello Fred, because I love this idea of talking about forgiveness. It brings freedom. And when you're truly forgiving people and you have released that, it sets you free. But what does it set you free for? It sets you free to live. Mm-hmm. It sets you free to be on an adventure with God.
Yes.
That's where I was, the train of thought was going
so
that way.
So you're
going
to segue into
right
Hello
into
Fred.
Hello Fred. So, because this is something, I love what Tina said. She said, I've never seen Adam this excited.
Well,
about
and she didn't, we, none of us understood what he was putting together until he put it together.
I did, because he and I, he'd been
okay.
dropping it all.
Tina and I didn't. And I absolutely love this project.
We're listening to it 24/7. I get up in the morning and I
we don't turn anything else on. It's that good. So explain what it is.
So Hello Fred is a, for lack of a better term, it's like a built-in player that you drop into your website. Like if you've got, for example, you can go to bridgefbg.com, scroll down the page, and you'll see the player, and it says Godcaster. So he's calling it the Godcaster. And but Hello Fred is actually a local station that he's producing that has all the music that we've chosen. I've had input on it. You had input through me on it.
A lot of friends had input on the best songs.
Also news bits, things that are happening around our local community, what God's up to. And then he's taking clips from Pastor Brian and myself and doing those. And then I'm also doing, Tina calls them God shots. I call them my daily grind, you know, the daily grind. It's my daily Devo, and he's running those. And it's all sprinkled in into this one 24/7 stream.
It's like turning on the radio to your favorite station and listening to all your songs. And every now and then you'll get a little 20-second Devo.
But it's all local. It's localized.
And he's playing some excerpts of our podcast.
Curry and the Keeper.
Curry and the Keeper. God Shots.
It's amazing.
I absolutely love it. The only thing I asked if he was going to do, which he hasn't done yet, but it's in the works, is like when you're in the car and you're listening, you want to know what song that is.
Yeah, it's hard to Shazam.
Yeah, and so he is going to have the song and the writer on there. We're the prototype.
I was going to say, we're the guinea pig. That's another nice way to say beta testers. We're guinea pigs. So I want you to go to bridgefbg.com, scroll down the homepage there, and you'll see the Godcaster player. And then you can click on Hello Fred and just let it run. It is so cool. I let it run in the background while you're working or driving and listen to it. But we've also added some podcasts that are relevant to our church and to our faith walk, and so you'll see those on there. We're actually adding some more. We're going to do Jack Hibbs
and Alan Jackson. Their podcasts.
Kurt Cameron's is on there. I love his and what he's doing.
And he ended up calling you recently.
Yeah, he called me and left a message, which is really nice. I haven't got back to him yet, but he called me because I quoted his new book, and put a slide up with his quote.
Every
on there.
Week you've been doing this
been using
for
his
weeks
because he wrote a book called Born to Be Brave. Fantastic book, and I highly recommend it. But Rick Green's friends with him, and Rick took a snapshot and said, "Hey, Pastor Jimmy's talking about your book." And he said,
"Give me his phone number. I want to contact him."
Super cool. Yes. I missed his call, but anyway,
he left a really lengthy message.
Yeah,
it was
very heartfelt. Yeah, I really appreciate it. So
really
I'm looking forward to calling him back or getting in touch with him. And
I want to bring him here.
Encourage him.
Yeah, I want to bring him here. To talk about his book, even talk about the monument, the way he talked about the monument
totally
on the biblical citizenship class.
How impactful
was so impactful. We got in our car and drove.
we got in our car and drove
to the airport. We drove to the airport.
So back to the Godcaster. So this is a project that Adam's working on with two other friends of his, Dave and Gordon, and they put together this amazing tool. I mean, if you're a business owner, you can actually run it in your business, and it's going to have local announcements and local news and, you know, hey, here's what's coming up. Here's a community calendar. It's got all of that. It's programmable. And it is phenomenal. I cannot not listen to it right now.
I can't either.
So go to Bridge.
And it's odd to hear your... Wait, hold on. It's odd as I'm getting ready and I'm hearing... You're in there getting ready with me and I'm hearing you on the radio. It's unbelievable to me.
But it's beautiful because a radio station can use it as a widget in there on their website and have 24/7 things running, because local radio, this is sad, but local radio for the most part's going away. It's just,
but
it's
we don't want Matt Long's show to go away.
I know we love Matt. It's beginning to fade, but you know what? Matt's a show that we could probably put in here as a podcast.
Yeah.
Cause any podcast you can actually have loaded into the player. So
we've loaded several things that are dear to us.
They're already there.
So you can go to bridgefbg.com, scroll all the way down, and you can listen to Hello Fred live for 24 hours or you can listen to one of the podcasts.
So it's still in beta development. So there's, you know, we're finding glitches or little things we're fixing along the way. I say we. I'm just transferring information to Adam and he with his geniuses. They do all that. But we're just helping by running it constantly. I'm listening to it as much as possible. And if I ever hear anything, I just shoot him a text. So it's really cool. It's even in the week that he started it to today,
it's come a long way.
Improvement already. I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, I'm super
proud. He's a genius.
I'm proud of Adam.
And
I'm proud of my friend.
I love,
it's for the kingdom. It's for God's glory.
And I love hearing his voice throughout. He'll say, "Hello, Fred. This is Hello, Fred." And I love that. I love hearing him. It does remind me of the MTV days.
Does it?
it really does, because of his voice. Has it changed? But it just, when I hear him on it, when I hear you, when I hear Tina, I'm on it.
You're on it on the podcast.
I don't really like that part, but I just get giddy hearing us, knowing that people are going to hear the little God shots that we're all giving. And it's just beautiful. It's another way for us to get the gospel
there
out.
There it is. Good news.
I learned the
good
gospel
news.
Through
Living
music.
Up in a down world is good news.
Music is how I was drawn to the Lord.
Me too.
And I love that we're using music and other things to draw people to the Lord as well.
I think this thing is going to go big, really big. He's got a meeting,
meeting
this morning, one yesterday, with other radio stations who are starting to pick it up.
So will he name it like whatever city has it? Hello,
yes.
Cincinnati or whatever?
Well, they can do what they want with it because it'll be theirs, so they can customize it
to theirs.
Okay,
so.
They can put their 24-hour radio stream on it or whatever.
Okay.
So however
so
they want.
So he named ours Hello Fred because we're in Fredericksburg.
Because we're Fred. Yeah, we're Fredericksburg.
I love it.
I'm super excited about it and just proud of him. I'm proud. It's fun to see him lit up. We were both saying,
I've never seen him
60,
like
right?
this.
He just turned big 6-0. He leveled up. I'm 62. And we were just talking last night about how we feel so youthful. We feel so, we're so excited about what God's doing in each of our spheres of influence and what we can do together.
Yes.
And we're talking about doing a podcast together. We're starting to, it's in development. We're talking.
Well, Tina and I have been talking about it for a year and it hadn't happened.
That's on y'all. Y'all have to decide when you're going to do it. But we're waiting for God's perfect timing, because the right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing. We want it to be the right thing at the right time. So we're letting, it's all percolating right now and it's starting to develop, but we're not rushing anything. It's like God's timing is perfect. So we'll be doing something, probably God, the world, and other things. I don't know.
That's for sure.
Who knows? Well, listen, as we land the plane today, first
of
all.
Wow, I think we didn't have very much energy at the beginning and then we end with all this.
Well, I think this is my second cup of coffee.
Oh, Black Rifle too. I just finished mine.
And it kicked in.
It did.
Boom.
It did.
I'm alive. Yeah, you had a lot more energy than me. I'm just going, okay, I'm still trying to wake up. But
well, I think I got really excited when you talked about Hello Fred, though, because I've never been so excited about a project as this. I think it's just genius.
I do, too.
I just love that.
I'm super fired up. Hey, go to livingupinadownworld.com, and if you have not signed up for our newsletter, sign up for it. That way we get the word out and let you know when the next podcast is coming. We didn't do a podcast last week, remember? Was it last week? Yeah.
No, we did it.
We did?
Yes.
We skipped a week. I guess we did it last week. It was the week before.
We skipped the week before.
Wow. Lots happened in the last week. But anyway, I want to say thank you to all of you. Those of you who have been contributing, those who have been doing Boostagrams, we want to say thank you. Adam Curry, you're always big time on the Boostagrams. There's a stripe of boost. He always rocks our world with 77,000 sats, and so appreciate that. But also, those of you that are using PayPal on our website and donating to the cause, thank you. It just means the world to us. We love to hear from you. Write us a note. Send us. It don't have to be a long. Don't write a book. Just send a note. We love to hear from you. We're just excited about what God's up to. Of course, we're in a good mood this morning because something we've been praying about so hard has come to pass. But I go back to this. We forgive. We also win with class. And we also are humbly grateful for what God's up to. We feel like the future's so bright, we just got to wear shades, right?
We have 4 years of a life raft.
Well, I would say 4 years of an opportunity. You can use a life raft as good, but I say an opportunity to turn this nation back to God.
Which means the work just begins.
Yeah. MAGA to me means make America
godly
again. That's
great
what we're going to do.
Godly.
Well, God bless you. We love you. And we just want to say thanks for listening today. And we're out of here. Have an amazing week on purpose. Go to Hello Fred on our website and check it out. I know you're laughing at me.
When you said go to Hello Fred, you know what my mind went to.
You are hilarious.
I know.
You're strange. I love you, and you're beautiful, by the way. Stunning and gorgeous. I think I'm ready for another cup of coffee. It's starting to work.
Wow.
Hey, we love you, family. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.